All rise. Hear ye, hear ye. It is time for the Crunch Exchange. This is where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports, and Steve will tell me if he is buying or selling that prospectus. He'll also say pending if he feels like a scaredy cat and doesn't want to commit to something. We begin. I was trying to get to this yesterday late in the show, and I'm going to go all in now. Anthony Davis has requested a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans. The NBA trade deadline is February 7th. Davis has a year and a half remaining on his five-year, $127 million deal and does not want to be a part of the struggling New Orleans Pelicans in the future. It's an interesting situation for the Pelicans to be in. On the one hand, this is the most leverage they'll ever have against other teams. They can ask for more players, better picks, just because they're willing to give up on Anthony Davis with plenty of time left on his deal. They can also wait for the summer to make a deal with Boston, who have traded for so many picks that are protected, they can't make a deal until after the draft order is set. Then, of course, the Pelicans could try and persuade Davis to stay for another year before dumping him off next February. Pelicans are 5 out of the 8th spot in the West. When it comes to the economics of the trade, they can't afford to wait to move the brow. The longer they wait, the worse the deal is going to get. Look at what happened to the Baltimore Orioles with Manny Machado. Yeah, they got some good prospects, but if they moved him sooner, they could have gotten that many more. What it all comes down to is weighing what can the Lakers offer now versus what the Celtics or another team could offer in July. The prospectus: New Orleans should trade Anthony Davis by February 7th.
Sell it.
Ooh. Quick on the draw.
I was lying in wait for 21 hours and 45 minutes.
My question wasn't that long. Come on.
No. Good one.
Thanks. The NBA is weird, man. They have tampering rules in place so that GMs, coaches, and sometimes players can't talk about making moves for certain players. So they just leak everything through Woj with ESPN or Shams with Yahoo Sports. Magic Johnson was on Jimmy Kimmel's show about 3 years ago and said, the Lakers should sign all the good players. I don't think he ever named anyone specifically, but he was fined for tampering as an owner. The loophole that GMs and owners can't go through? Well, players can. LeBron James seems to be exploiting that loophole to perfection. And here's how this works. The NBA can't fine player LeBron for tampering and talking about getting Anthony Davis to leave Big Easy for Hollywood, because it would be insane for the league to define who can or cannot a player be friends with. So pseudo-GM LeBron can have dinners with Davis as, quote, friends, to ask Davis to ask for a trade whenever pseudo-GM LeBron thinks it's right to ask for a trade. LeBron started a player agency headed by Rich Paul, and Rich Paul represents Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis used Rich Paul to demand a trade, which means LeBron James demanded Anthony Davis be traded to a trade to play with LeBron. While the NBA would never dare fine LeBron, they could go over his head and fine the Lakers or compensate the Pelicans with extra picks if indeed Anthony Davis ends up in Hollywood. The prospectus: the Lakers will be charged with tampering in regards to Anthony Davis.
I'm going to sell that as well.
All right.
I'm very efficient and simple here today.
One word answers. My Greek freak, he's just a monster. My Bucks are running the show right now at 36-13. Giannis is averaging 27-13-6 and still firmly in the MVP conversation, despite the fact that he doesn't travel or have a big beard. I myself doubt my Bucks. Yes, they took Boston to 7 games last year in the first round, but they haven't made it out of the first round since 2001. But when you go deeper beyond the stats to look at even more stats, you start to see the real picture. When you look at double-digit wins, the Bucks have the most double-digit wins this year with 26. That's 5 more than the Warriors, 6 more than their challenger in the East, the Raptors. When the Bucks win, they win big. When they lose small. Of the 13 losses, the Bucks have 3 this year were by more than 10, half as many as the Warriors, and 2 less than the Raptors. Because of this, they're first in the East, 2-1 against Toronto. They play them for the 4th and final time this year on Friday. The prospectus: my Milwaukee Bucks win the Eastern Conference.
So are you saying they finished as the one seed, or in the playoffs they win the Eastern Conference?
One seed.
All right, and they're also the only team that hasn't lost back-to-back games this year.
Wow.
Which is an astonishing statistic. You know what? I actually think they're going to do it. I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks entering the 2019 playoffs as a one.
And the curse has been given. Going back again to yesterday, we talked about the Oregon men's basketball team and the struggling Pac-12. The Ducks are 66th in the net ranking, slowly but surely making their way into theoretical tournament contention. The easiest path for Oregon to make the tournament for the first time since their Final Four run in 2017, well, that's winning the Pac-12 tournament. The Ducks sit at 8th, 2 games out of the 4th spot, which would give them the bye in the Pac-12 tourney. And the Ducks start this road for a bye by taking on Utah tomorrow, one of 6 games Oregon has against teams that are ahead of them in the standings. Any amount of winning is obviously going to help Oregon either get an at-large or the auto bid by winning the conference tournament, but to get the latter, the easiest path is through that bye. The prospectus, Oregon gets a bye in the conference tournament.
Weebles wobble and they don't fall down, so that would mean they have to catch and pass Arizona State and Arizona and Oregon State and UCLA. They've already lost to every one of them except Arizona. If they lose to Utah tomorrow, they're in trouble there. So, you know, the way this season is going, it just it seems to be on a journey to nowhere. So I'm going to sell that too.
Last one, MLB is also having a weird offseason. Kyle Glazer of Baseball America reported that 53.6% of eligible free agents are still unsigned. Pitchers and catchers report in less than 2 full weeks, and that's just 2 weeks to know if you're going to be playing in Florida or Arizona for spring trainings, 2 weeks to find a home, apartment, move your things, get to know your coach and teammates, and a million other things they have to deal with. Glazer also reported that only 11 players have signed deals longer than 2 years. 2 years should more or less be a throwaway deal for a free agent. You probably argue that a team is willing to give out a 2-year deal before a 1-year deal. I get this free agent class hasn't been really all it was hyped up to be, but there's still all-star quality players on the market. For every one of those players out there, there seems to be plenty of reasons to not sign them for X amount of dollars for X amount of years. There's your classic, too old, not good enough, hasn't done in the playoffs, he's injury prone. Now there's spin rate is too low, launch angel too high, OPS not too close to league average, too easy to stop with the shift, and plenty more. Just more reasons than ever to not sign players to any contract. The prospectus, baseball has gotten too smart for its own good.
I don't think so. These things have a tendency to work themselves out. I mean, look how late J.D. Martinez signed last year. How'd that turn out for Boston? So I think I'm going to complete a sweep. I'm going to sell that one, too.